Mark.
Absolutely.
How are we doing, man?
There he is.
There he is. Good.
Man.
Good.
It was barely 6 o'clock last night where I looked at Corby as if I was listening to him, but really right behind him was a Mavs game. And there's Kristaps rising up from 29 feet and just banging home a three as a 7'3" freak of nature. And he just sort of picked up where he left off, and life was good again. And I thought what Corby was saying was very important as well, but I really liked that
three.
Thank
you.
Yeah, I really liked what I saw like 30 seconds into the game. He didn't waste any time, did he?
No, and he said that last night after the game, that he was making it a point to be aggressive because he knew he had a range of minutes that he was going to play, which apparently was in the low 20s because he ended up playing 21 minutes. So couldn't work yourself into the game last night, man. Time was of the essence. You had to get your shots up, and he certainly did that last night. And I think, you know, maybe ran out a little bit of gas there at the end, but all in all, it was great to see him back out there, and I think for the first game in 4 months, it was good, and we'll only get better.
Yeah, you forget, you know, I mean, he hadn't been a Maverick that long, and you haven't seen that much of him, and so when you see him back in there, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, he provides so much all over that basketball court, and it is, I mean, eye-popping type stuff.
I love what he does defensively.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
You know, wasn't really big numbers rebounding the ball last night, but the floor spacing and look, just another big body out there. I mean, as you guys, you know, we all know what's going on right now with the depleted nature of the team, and that includes two guys, and really three if you count Finney Smith, along with Kleba and Powell, who are part of the big guy rotation. You know, they needed somebody else out there to occupy that spot for 20 plus minutes last night, and it was him, man. And it was really good, dude. It was really good to see him out there.
I love basketball. I've loved it my whole life. Started playing, I think, in first grade. So there's all these ingrained thoughts about the game that they're kind of in your subconscious. They're not even top of mind. They're just back there. And when he starts playing again, all those subconscious thoughts start bubbling into your head, and you almost have to swat them away like Dikembe might, which is, why is he shooting from out there? You know, I mean, just all those things that is, it's counterintuitive that a 7'3" man should have that style of game. And I just, it's weird. You watch him for a while, and you get used to it, and you start calming down. But then when he's gone for a while, you have to almost coach yourself how to watch Kristaps play basketball. So high school you isn't hearing your coach tell you what a good shot is, because that doesn't apply anymore.
Yeah, not only just the range, but how about the drive last night past Miles Bridges where he made
yes.
where Miles Bridges, you know, there was a blow-by, and Bridges just is slumping his shoulders and has this look on his face like, oh, wow, that 7'3" dude. I guess there's a reason they call him the unicorn. So
yes.
it was good stuff, man. I mean, just, you know, and as I said earlier, the great thing about it is that was just the base. That's just step one on this journey, and it only gets better from here. So we'll see how many more minutes he can handle. I wouldn't think it's going to be a huge jump tomorrow night, but it's more minutes and hopefully a little bit sharper and a little bit more wind and not, you know, tailing off in the last couple of minutes of the game. I mean, you know, that seems maybe a little bit harsh for me to say that, but I guess there was a point in time last night that he was something like 6-for-11 and maybe missed like the last 4 or 5 shots that he took. But I just think that looked to me like maybe the legs wore out a little bit as the game went on. But it was, hey, man, to me, that whole thing was thumbs up last night, big time.
Yeah, I agree. It was awesome. Two guys that I would like to mention because, you know, Luka and KP are obvious and Luka's playing out of his mind right now. I don't think that I was really expecting this out of James Johnson, who seems to come in every game and provide a spark. And I was joking with Bob yesterday that after he was signed and, you know, all the stuff about him being good at karate and he'll have Luka's back, that I just kind of expected him to only come out in a gi, you know, and that was just his bit, and he was Karate Man and all that. But the guy is providing a ton on both ends of the court. I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't this.
Well, I mean, we look, when the acquisition happened, I mean, what did we all say? The first thing we said was enforcer. And I think that probably was top of mind because the last basketball we saw was Luka getting the crap knocked out of him by Marcus Morris, and I think all of us coming to the realization, okay, this team needs somebody to protect him and to have his back in situations like that, especially in the playoffs. So we gravitated toward that, knowing that's kind of an aspect of James Johnson's game. But seeing him up close, what I would say the thing is that really stands out to me is that he's a really good passer. I mean, there was a play against, who'd they play Saturday? Orlando. Gosh, it's been such a weird week. So they played Orlando Saturday night. He grabs a defensive rebound, and he goes coast to coast, and he gets just inside the three-point line and leaves it for one of the two guys who was on fire the other night against Orlando, Hardaway or Burke. I can't remember which one of the two it was. But it was just so, it was so impressive to watch a guy 6'9", grab the defensive rebound, bring it up the floor. And I mean, it was very Luka-like in the way that he did it, and just made a nice, really simple pass after bringing it up for an open three for Burke or Hardaway, whichever one of the two guys it was. So there's just there's a feel to the game that shows up in good decisions and passing and moving the ball that is something that you think, I think you have to see a guy day in, day out to understand that nuance of his game, and that's the thing that's really been eye popping to me so far.
Willie Cauley-Stein would be the other name, and yeah, man, that guy has provided a ton too, and it looks like he is, you know, he's kind of had a strange rep before this year, and he is into it and playing hard, and I mean, working his ass off out there.
Don't you think maybe some of that rep is attributable to the situation that you're in? I don't think we look at, with all due respect to them, look, Sacramento's on a 14-year playoff drought, and so probably we perceive that guys there don't have, you know, just the work ethic, or they're a product of that system, and they're a product of losing, and they get the stain of losing on them, and so our perception from the outside looking in probably isn't very good. But it has been talked about by a lot of people. Rick would be one guy that stands out in this regard, and Luka is the other one, that they've all been really supportive and impressed of how hard he's worked to make himself a better player and to fit within the culture here, and the putting him into the starting lineup has really been good. We're talking 7.5, 8 points a game and 9 rebounds a game in his 4 starts. So I have, for the foreseeable future, especially given the roster situation, there's no reason to believe that that's not going to continue to be the thing going forward, the same thing going forward.
This is Mark Folliwell, of course, the voice of the Mavericks, and a why'd you say whoa?
I said hello.
Oh, okay. Yes, hello. I wanted to make sure I said your name right or something. I don't know what it was. But, no, so I was telling you this online yesterday, Mark, that I went away from the Mavericks game for a little while last night to do family things. And then when I got back around, I went to go watch the, and I don't even know if fans know about this, especially those of you who are having a hard time finding the Mavs on TV these days, which we'll talk about in Sturm Center, I think. But every night there's a 10-minute version quickly put up on YouTube of a condensed game, and I think that would be very useful for people, you know, to get a little bit of a fix. So I went to review the part we were on the air for, and then to watch, you know, the last quarter that I was detained for, whatever. And it was the Hornets announcers.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Del Curry and whoever does the games with him.
Eric Collins.
Okay, Eric Collins. And I just wanted to say that it's incredibly entertaining to watch the out-of-town announcers who don't get to see Luka very often just marveling and pretty much shrugging their shoulders on behalf of their own players on, I mean, what are you supposed to do against this guy? There are so many moments in just a typical game, which, again, we may be already taking for granted or getting used to, or and how could you not? But it's just, sometimes it's fun to just hear the awe of the people that don't have a close proximity to Doncic on a regular basis.
So I have two thoughts on that. Thought number one is that's cool to hear that those guys did the game like that last night, because sometimes, and I have experienced this, you get a level of annoyance and pushback from some segment of your own fan base when you drool too much over what somebody in the other team is doing.
Yes.
But we love good basketball, man.
Yeah.
That means somebody else on the other team is doing it, especially in the height of Steph and Golden State. I think that's probably where a little bit, where I recall maybe more so than anywhere, some of that pushback coming from. It's like, you know, I can't believe you guys are just so in love with Steph Curry. And it's like, the guy is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Mavs aren't doing very well at this point. So, you know, let's celebrate seeing a good basketball player come in here that's doing extraordinary things. That's a part of revolutionizing the game. So it's good to hear that they were doing it that way, number one. I do think we're probably starting to take some of those things for granted. So maybe there's a unique or different way to focus on watching him. So one of the things that I've been doing this year is just noticing other things that he's bringing to the table in terms of his game. And you guys are watching the game, so you, I think you know what this is too. Defensively, much better this year. And actually shooting a little bit more of the shots that basketball dogma says you're supposed to stay away from, and that is mid-range jump shots. I'm seeing much more. I don't have the numbers fleshed out on it or anything like that yet, but the in-between game is a little bit more of a tool in the toolbox for Luka this year. And I haven't had a chance to really ask him about it yet, so I don't know if that's something that he specifically worked on or just a little bit more maturity in his game of the quote-unquote taking what the defense will give you. Perhaps it's nothing more than that, and he just, you know, we just didn't realize how comfortable he is taking those shots and playing in that area of the floor. But that, to me, helps this whole notion of not taking for granted the extraordinary greatness that we're seeing and that we see on a night-in, night-out basis, because he's adding to what his skill set is. He's not just content with what he did last year, but he's like all great players. We saw it for 2 decades with Dirk. You go away for an off season and you come back and you have more things that you can do better, or you've refined things that you already did well to take him up another level. And I think watching him with that lens maybe will help a little bit in this whole idea of not taking him for granted, because I certainly understand that that's easy to do.
Are you surprised? You know, Rick got his 800th win last night, and thinking back at how long he's been here, I mean, he's been here a long time. When you look at the history of DFW sports, I mean, his tenure here ranks up there with the best of them as far as longevity goes. And he, a guy with his pedigree, staying through that weird run that the Mavs had from, say, 14 to 19, really, 18. Were you surprised that he was so satisfied being here? Did it have anything to do with his family, his kids? I don't know. It's just a guy like that, you know, you see guys walk away from the job so often, and that would have been a really good time for him to just say, I'm done.
Well, he loves coaching, and so once a coach, always a coach. I certainly think that his family, his wife and a daughter who's in school, you know, his daughter's in high school now. Abby's 15 or 16 years old. So I think staying here and, you know, putting her in a position where she's got the best opportunity from a school standpoint and staying connected with your family and your friends and everything like that, I'm sure that that had something to do with it. But the other thing is, I think Mark has a lot to do with it. I think Rick has tremendous respect and appreciation for the opportunity that Mark and Donnie gave him after he had a little bit of success in Detroit and then went to Indiana and had success there, but then had the malice at the Palace. And, you know, that was kind of something that was attached to Rick. And then the team deteriorated a little bit, and people viewed him as somebody who was difficult to get along with or wasn't the best player's coach. And so not to say that he was in jeopardy of not being able to coach in the league anymore, but I think Rick really appreciates the opportunity he had here and the support that he's had, the unwavering support that he's had from Mark and Donnie for all of that time. So I think the appreciation of that and the loyalty he feels to those guys have made him want to continue to stay here and repay that loyalty and you know, be part of this. I think he just has, especially Dirk being here as well, I do think there's something to be said for that for all of those years. And he even said last night he rode the Dirk train for a long time. So I think Rick has just a tremendous respect and appreciation for all that he has here and the position and the respect that he has within the organization. And so I'm, you know, honestly, being around him all of this time, I'm not that surprised at all, because I do think he has a great sense of history and a great sense of the responsibility that he has and embraces that responsibility as the face or one of the faces of the organization.
Yeah, and I think a lot of credit should go to ownership as well, because in some cities, you know, you blame a coach for a team underperforming, even if you know deep down inside they don't have the horses they once did. And it was unwavering support from that direction as well. So I think that should at least be probably introduced into the conversation as well, and which I know you did, but that's an interesting angle too.
And I think that Rick probably spent a lot of those times. I asked him about it at the end of one of those particular seasons, you know, where you got your rewards from and where the victories were when they weren't actually victories showing up in the win column and the standings. And he just said from player development and seeing guys grow from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, or seeing particular aspects of their skill set get better. So I think that he, in those more difficult, leaner years where wins and losses obviously weren't what they wanted them to be, he found a way to find rewards out of smaller things and little things that sustained his love of coaching and his love of being here.
Mark, good stuff. We appreciate it. Let's do it again next week, sir.
We will do it.
Yes.
Talk to you guys later. Bye.
See you, bud.
All right, that's Mark Folliwell.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.